Okay, so we want to do a bit of a chazara, a quick chazara of an omad and a half, a daf and a half, starting from lamed tes omad base, the sugya that we began this man with. Itmar, heviu lefneim psisin v'shleimin. Somebody had in front of him pieces of bread and also a sholim. So we had a discussion. Omar abhuna mevorech al psisin upoiter es ha-shleimin. He makes a bracha on the psisin, and that will exempt the shleimin. Rashi learned that it doesn't mean that you must make the bracha on the psisin, but rather you may make the bracha on the psisin. And Rashi learned we're dealing with a case where they're all the same size. If indeed the psisin would be larger, then there'd be a different story. So Rav Huna says that you may, if you want, make a bracha on the psisin. And Rabbi Yechana disagrees. Rabbi Yechana, Omar, no. Shleima mitzvah namuvcha, it's certainly a better mitzvah. He also doesn't say it's an absolute chiyuv, but it's a mitzvah namuvcha to make a bracha over the shleima. Says the Gemara, avol prusa shel chitin v'shleima min ha-se'orin, then divrei ha-koel mevorech al ha-prusa shel chitin u'poiter es ha-shleima shel se'orin. So everything we discussed till now is only if we're not dealing with two different species. The psisin and the shleimin differ only in size, but not in kind. But if one is chitin and one is soirin, then we have a different form of chashivas, and the chitin would win at all costs. And because the chito is mentioned first in the pasuk, therefore it definitely beats soirin, even if the soirin is a sholem and the chitin is not. This is not a question of mitzvah and amuvcha or what's preferable, but rather mandatory. This is what you must do. Says the Gemara, Omar Birmiya Ba'abot Ketanoi. So the way Rashi learns is that the previous line, that which we said that chitin will always trump se'orin, seems to be actually a discussion of Machlokes Tanoi, because it says, Toirmin Botzel Kotten Sholem Avaloi Chatzi Botzel Godel. We saw Machlokes Rashi Tosas, but we'll go today with Rashi. We're dealing with an onion which has been given for truma, and the choice is either a whole onion, albeit a small one, or a half onion, but it's large. And Rashi says that the large onion is larger than the small shalim. So not only was it larger to begin with, it's larger now as well. Happens to be, however, it's not shalim. So what's the score? On the one hand, I've got one onion which is larger, I've got another onion which is a sholem. So what should I do in that case? So the Mishnah says there, it says you should give the botzel cotton sholem. Sounds like sholem wins the day. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda im aloiki, it's not so. Elo chatzi botzel godel. So my love, it seems to be that what is the discussion? B'hol kamiflegi. The Mar Sovar Choshuv Odif, Umar Sovar Sholem Odif. It seems to be that one holds that Sholem wins the day, and the other says that Choshuv, in other words, size, wins the day. So if that's the case, you told me before that when you have Chitin versus Soirin, Chitin always wins the day. Why? Because it's Choshuv. It turns out that Choshuv is a Machlokes Tanoim, so why did you say it as if it's the most straightforward, simple thing in the world? It's not so simple. So the Gemara says, it is simple. Where the Kohen was present, he was available at the time, then absolutely no discussion whatsoever. Kula alma lo pligi. Everybody would agree, no machlokas whatsoever. De choshuv odif. Certainly the choshuv would take precedence, in other words, the union of size. However, we're talking about ki pligi. When did they have a machloikas about which onion you should give? The leka koyin. Ah, there's no koyin. So now maybe there's another factor that comes to the table, and that is a practical one. Perhaps there's an Indian to give an onion which is at least long-lasting, because he's not here at the moment to enjoy it. To Tanan Kol, Mokim Sheyesh Kohen, wherever you have a Kohen available, Toireim Min HaYofer. you would certainly be toireim. You donate the best you have. V'kol mokim she'ein koyen, when I do not have a koyen available in toireim, min ha'miskayim, then you should donate that which will last. Rav Yehuda says that no, ein toireim ela min ha'yofer. So you see, that's the discussion. Should you nonetheless give him the best onion, or should you go for perhaps grade 2 onion because at least it will last? That's the machlokes with regard to the small onion, the big onion. But certainly if the kohen was available, then obviously if you had a choice of choshev or sholem, then certainly everybody would agree that choshev is odif, and therefore that which we said that chita always beats se'orin is indeed true. Says the Gemara, Omar Ranachman by Yitzchok, the Yorei Shomayim, Yoitzidei Shneihem. Again, we'll go with Rashi. Rashi says we're going back to the machloikas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechanan. You have the Psisin and the Shleimin. So Rav Huna says you can make the bracha on the Psisin. Rabbi Yechanan says no, you should make the bracha on the Shleimin. So a Yorei Shomayim could get the best of both worlds. Who is that Yorei Shomayim? Umanu? Question mark. Who is that? Mar Breda Ravina. The Mar Breda Ravina maniach prusa b'toich ha-shleimo. He placed the prusa. Now normally b'toich means in, but here it means under. That's how the Rishonim explained. He put the prusa underneath the shleima, and that way uboitzei and he cut. So therefore, really, which one are you making the bracha over? Both. And that way, you've got both opinions. Toni tana kamed Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Same thing. Maniach ha prusa b'toich ha shleima uboitzei umavarech. Omalei, my shimcha. What's your name? Omalei Shalmon. Omalei Shalom atov. Shleima mishnoscha. You are Shalom, and your Mishnah is Shalom. Shesamto Shalom bein ha-Talmidim. You have brought about Shalom between the Talmidim, because you have managed to find a way to reconcile all opinions. Is it Psisin? Is it Shleimin? The answer is it's both. Omer Rav Papa, Hakol Moedim b'Pesach. When it comes to Pesach, until now we've been discussing a regular case. You happen to have the different breads on the table, but it's not a Shabbos, not a Yom Tov. But if indeed we'll be discussing Pesach, then everybody would agree Shemaniach Prusa B'Toich Shleimo Uboitzea. There you must do it. With regard to a regular day in the office, we said it's an inyan of Yorei Shomayim. It's a very nice thing to do, but nobody can say there's a chiyuv. But on Pesach there's a chiyuv. You must include the Prusa as well. You must. Why must you? My timer. Because it says Lechem Oiniksiv. If it says poor man's bread, and remember, poor man does not have sholem bread, rather he has prusa. So therefore the prusa certainly has to be included, it's not just an issue of Yerushalayim. Omer of Abu Uba Shabbos, chayev odom liftsoy al shtei koikoris. My time away on two breads on Shabbos, because it says lecha mishna. Omer of Ashi, chazina leila of Kahana. I saw of Kahana to knock at tarity. He held two in order to mekayim the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, but he actually cut just one. Reb Zeira have a botza akula sharusa. Now Rashi learned botza akula sharusa means he just took a slice that was large enough to keep him the whole meal. But if you remember, the Rashba learned that no, it means he actually cut from both breads, even though we just said on the previous line that Rav Kahana was spotted holding two but cutting one. This opinion, in the opinion of the Rashba, actually disagrees, and Rav Zeira says, no, you should cut both. So according to Rashi, Rashi said that's not the translation of the Gemara. Rashi says the translation of the Gemara is he just cut a very large slice. So if I were to ask you a question, according to Rashi, is there any inyan whatsoever, is there any source to suggest that there might be some type of preference in cutting both breads? And the answer is absolutely no. We don't have any Gemara that backs that up. But according to the Rashba, we do. Because there is at least one opinion in the Gemara that says you should do that. Now, again, let's just continue with Rashi. So Rashi says that Botza Kole Sharusa means he sliced a slice large enough to keep him going for the whole meal. Omalei Ravilla Ravashi, Ay Vokoch Mischazi, he would appear Kurav Sanusa. As somebody who is very greedy, starving, hungry, if you cut a slice that large, it's not very becoming. Amalei, no. Kiven de kol yoima, because every single day, loika ovid hochi, he does not do this. V'ho'idno, and today on Shabbos, ka'ovid, comma, therefore, lo'y mischazi k'rav sanusa. It doesn't look greedy. It only looks greedy if a person does this consistently. But if you clearly see this is not his regular behavior, because every day he cuts an average slice of bread. It's only on Shabbos he does this, so it's clear that you're not doing it because you're greedy, but rather because of covered Shabbos. Rav Ami Rav Asi ki hava misrami lehu rifta de eruva. Whenever they would chance upon bread from an eruv, Rashi says eruv ichatzeirois mevorich and olea moitzi lechem in haaretz. Obviously, you have to make a bracha. Means for lechem ishna. Why? Omri, they said, hoyel veisavid be mitzvah chada, because one mitzvah was done with it. Navid be mitzvah achrita. We want to do another mitzvah with it, and that is the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. If you remember, we discussed last time that there's a number of different ways of understanding this principle. One way of understanding the principle is that it's a maila in mitzvah number two. When you make your Lechem Mishnah over this bread, you're not just using any old bread, it's mitzvah bread. Therefore, that becomes an extra special Lechem Mishnah. Others learn that no, it's a maila in mitzvah number one. That once you've used it for an Erev, don't downgrade it and just put it on your Sunday afternoon lunch. Rather use it for a mitzvah. You're going to keep it going, as it were, for mitzvahs. Zot the Gemara, top of Daf Mem Omud Aleph. Omar Rav. Toil Baruch. Toil Baruch. Einoi Tzorich Levorich. If somebody, before he tasted the Prusa, what did he say? He told somebody else, he said, here, take this slice of bread that we've made a bracha over. So he has actually spoken. Nonetheless, einoi tzorich levorich. Why einoi tzorich levorich? Because he has not spoken about unrelated matters. If you turn around to his friend and start saying to him, hello, how are you? That's a hefsek. And if you haven't yet eaten, you'd have to make another bracha. But because when he spoke to him, he spoke about related matters, i.e. make a bracha on this, or take this bracha bread, therefore it's not considered a hefsek, and therefore he does not need to make a new bread. However, hevi havei melach, havei lifton, tzarech levarech, if I'd say bring salt or bring some sort of flavoring, then you would need to make a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan said that, no. Af heviu melach, heviu lifton, nami ein tzarech levarech. Why? Because that's also bread-related. Why is it bread-related? Because as the Gemara is going to say soon, there is a halachic requirement to dip your bread in the salts. If I would say, here, pass me the jam, because I fancy having jam on my bread, that's not a halachic requirement. Therefore, that would be considered unrelated. But if I say, bring me the salt, because the halacha requires that you must dip your bread in salt, therefore, that's not unrelated issue. So too, says the Gemara, Govil Luturi, Govil Luturi. This is always the famous example that's widely quoted. Let's mix the food for the ox. Now why on earth is he talking about his animals whilst he's about to eat? The answer is, first opinion says Tzorech Levorech, but Rashi says no. Afilu Govil Luturi, Nami Einoi Tzorech Levorech. Why? Because that is related to his eating. Why is his animal's food related to his eating? So he explains, because you have to feed them. Tomer of Yudom Arav, Osel Odom Sheikh, or Kedim Sheetin Machel Abemta. You cannot eat yourself before you've given your animals to eat. Shenema Vanosati Esa Beschodcha Livhem Techo. First says the animals, and only after that. Vahodar, and only then it says Vahalta Vesavata. Now we mustn't make a mistake, by the way. In all of these cases that we say that because you spoke about something which is bread related, therefore it is no hefsek, it doesn't mean that it's lachatchila to speak. But d'yevet, it's not a hefsek. Which means, if imagine you've made your bracha over bread and for some reason you can't see salt. So you need to have salt brought to the table. Lachatchila, you should not speak. You try and gesture to somebody and wave in the direction of the salt and make yourself understood. You should not speak. If that doesn't work, or if you indeed you spoke, then b'dieved it's not a hefsek. Why? Because it is related. It is related. Now, by the way, just an important point, which is halacha l'mais, and I think it's worth pointing out. There's always a very big differentiation to be made between stage one and stage two. Stage one is post bracha prior to the performance of the mitzvah. Like over here. And when we say mitzvah, I don't necessarily mean mitzvah. I mean whatever the bracha is going on with, the achila. So either you make a bracha, borei pri ha'etz, stage one would be prior to taking that first bite from the apple. Or you say al biur chametz, stage one would be prior to searching your first room. Stage two is when you haven't yet finished the activity over which you made a bracha. I've had my first bite of an apple and I've continued chomping. So then, what's the halacha?
No talking, no interruption.
So if I'm now eating an apple, I've made my bracha, don't be mafsik. Now I've had my first bite. I've had my second bite, and then a third bite, and it takes many bites of an apple. Am I allowed to talk? For sure allowed to talk. Because the bracha has really taken effect. Once I've swallowed the first bite. When it comes to mitzvahs, however, one should not be mafsik at all. Lechatchila. So if I'm about to do bedikas chometz, so there's a difference between stage one and stage two. Stage one, you should not talk at all, whatever happens under any circumstances, at least lechatchila, even if it is bedikas chometz related. So you make your bracha and you begin your search. After that, you are allowed to talk if it's bedikas chometz related, even lechatchila. And if it's not bedikas chometz related, you should not talk, but yevad, it's not a hefsuk. Which is, by the way, what, presumably in the shul that you davened in, this is the reason why the Rav announced on Rosh Hashanah, you should not be mafsik until after you've finished Kiyah Shofar. Now he's talking about, in our terminology, stage two. Nobody's thinking of being mafsik between the brachas of the Baal Tekeah and the first Tekeahs. So why is the Rav announcing you shouldn't be mafsik until the end of all 100? The answer is because of stage two, lechatchila also, you should not be talking. Now I'll point out to you, I did see a number of times Rabbi Kornfeld in the Graz Shul talk to the Baal Tekeah. Never, however, between the bracha and the tekiahs, but after that, if it's tekiah shofar related, then it's lechatchila. So if, for example, he's done the first 30, and then later on, the Rav just wants to remind him that the first, second 30, you blow a bit differently, and there's the halacha this, and there's the halacha that, then it's muta lechatchila to talk. But to say, oh, how are you doing, how are you feeling, where are you going for lunch today, that's asa. But yeah, but it wouldn't be mafsik, you wouldn't have to make a new bracha, because the bracha has already taken effect.
So on Shabbos, sometimes when some people don't speak until they have their kazayis.
Right. You should not be speaking at all. I must say, however, sometimes it becomes a bit of a leitzonus. You can't speak, so everybody's busy humming and hurring. Oh, I'm not allowed to say, how are you? So I say, ow, ah, ooh, and that's apparently muta. That's a hefsek. That's mamash a hefsek. Should not be involved in other activities.
After hamotzi, do you have to eat a kasayas before you speak?
No.
You can take a bite.
You're right.
And swallow.
You're supposed to have a kasayas within a period of time, though.
That's only when there's a mitzvah to have a kasayas, like on Seder night or on Sukkot night.
Friday night.
That's over the course of the general Suda, but not. On Sukkot is Negev. By the way, lechatchila, one should not even be mafsik, even without dibur. Meaning, you've made your bracha, you've washed your hands, and you're waiting now for the balabais to make a bracha of the challah. You should now go and read a book, even though you're not talking. Very often the kids, you know, until they chap around, the very big masmidim, so they have 8 more seconds to play with their Lego. It's not lechatchila.
But in Negev, if you go to people's house, like the people sitting there,
should not be involved in any activity at all. Should sit there waiting patiently until the balabais comes and makes a bracha. That's lechatchila. Omar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rebechia. Ein haboitzea rashoi livtzoya. The one who's cutting should not do so. This is the halacha we just mentioned. Ad sheyaviu melach oy lifton, until he brings salt or some sort of flavoring lifnei kol echad ve'echad. Rav Bar Shmuel ikle lebei reish galusa fukele rifte, took some bread out of botza lehedya, and he cut immediately without delaying, without dipping it into anything. What's going on? Amalu hodor mar mishmaitse? Did you retract from your initial statement? Amalu no, less dain Sarech b'sheish. This one does not need any delay. What does that mean, it does not need delay? This one does not require salt or flavoring because it's sweet anyway, which, as we mentioned last time, is the source of nowadays bread. The ikra din one does not need to dip it in salt because our bread is all perfectly edible and tasty and sweet. We keep this halacha anyway, but ikra din, if you don't have salt, it's fine. Ramah Rava Bashmo, Mishum Rabbi, Ein, Mei, Raglaim, Kolim, Elo, B'Yeshiva. Mei Raglaim is only completely going to be finished only when the person is sitting down. Otherwise, as Rashi explained, he's worried that the last few drops will squirt back. Therefore, he doesn't allow himself to be relieved fully unless he's sitting down. Omer of Kahano, Ba'ofati Choyach, Afilu Ba'amida. If there's offer tichoyach, then even Bamida is okay. Why? Because the ground will absorb anything that lands on it. Therefore, there's no chashash that it will bounce back. V'ilekar offer tichoyach. What happens if there's no soft earth? Then yamoy b'mokim gavoya. He should stand on a high place. V'yashtin l'mokim medroin. And should relieve himself on a slant. Why? That way it will not bounce up, it will bounce down. By the way, when you learn a Gemara like this, it's very easy, on the one hand, perhaps to be cynical at best, or even derogatory at worst. But the way that we look at it is the exact opposite. How unbelievable it is that every activity that a person does, there's halachas, there's a way. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be performed. There's no such thing as this is beyond the territory of halacha. Somebody obviously doesn't have Yirah Shamayim will mock. I say, what's the difference? Why do I need to be told when I'm in the privacy of the bathroom to be told what to do? No, there's halachas, and these, by the way, are sifim in Shulchan Aruch. If you open the Shulchan Aruch, these halachas are recorded la halacha. Every activity of a Jew, when he puts on his shoes in the morning, which order they should be laced up, is a halacha. Every aspect of our day-to-day life is avodas Hashem. V'omar Rava Bashmuel Mishmeid Rebchia Achar Kol Achiloscha. After every eating, achol melach, very healthy thing. Ve'achakol shchiyoscha, sheseimayim, you should drink water. That's a healthy thing. Ve'i atonizoik, and that way you will not be damaged. Tani namiyochi, we have learned similarly in a braisa, achakol achiloscha, achol melach, ve'achakol shchiyoscha, sheseimayim, ve'i atonizoik. Tani iduch, we've learned another braisa. Ochal kol maichol ve'loyochol melach. If you ate any food and did not have salt afterwards, or shasa kol mashkin v'loy shasa mayim b'yoyim, yidag min reach hapeh. If you're dealing with daytime, then you should be concerned, he'll have an unpleasant odor in his mouth, or b'laylo yidag pnei askro, he should be worried about a terrible disease of the stomach, and therefore the antidote apparently is to have salt after food and water after drinks. Ton Rabbonon, hamak be'achilose b'mayim. If a person drenches his food in water, eini bolidei cholim ayim, he will not come to any stomach sickness. V'kamo, how much water? Amar v'chista, kitoin lapas, a flask for a loaf of bread. Amar of Mary, Amar of Yechanan, harogil ba'adoshim achas l'shloishim yoyim. If somebody frequently, consistently has lentils, how often? Once every 30 days, then moinea askar mitich beisoi. Here it says he will refrain, he will avoid having askara from anyone in his household. I will call you imaloi, but not too often. My time amishum de kosher l'reach hapeh, because it isn't very positive with regard to the odor in one's mouth. So generally it's a healthy thing, but not too often. What's charadl? Charadl is mustard. Again, achas l'shloishim yoyim is a good thing. He will avoid, he will prevent sickness in his household. Can be cause a weak heart. So if you have too much mustard, it can cause a weak heart. If somebody frequently has small fish, he will not come to have any sickness of the stomach. Not only that, there's another ma'ilal. person has small fish, mafrin umarbin umavrin kol gufei shel adam. They will cause fertility and cause health of kol gufei shel adam. Omer of Chama bar Rabbi Chanina haragil beketzach. What's ketzach? So Rashi translated as some sort of seed. Einu boli de ke'ev leiv. You will not have any heart pain. Meisvei. We're asking a kasher. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer ketzach echod mishishim misanei amoves. Here it says it's 1 in 60 of the angel of death. Doesn't sound very positive to me. You're telling me that it avoids cave, etc. Here it sounds like it's deathly. If somebody sleeps on the eastern side of the storehouse where this is kept, and domei beroisha, his blood is on his head. There's a difference between the reach and the tam. And that's what Rashi says, that if you have the reach, that indeed is not positive, but the tam is good. Imeder of Yirmiah, the mother of Yirmiah, Apiele Rifta, she made him this bread. Umadab Kele, she did on the one hand stick this ketzach on it. Why? As Rashi said, in order to absorb the reach, and then Umakalfele, she removed it. Why? Because in order to avoid the reach, right? So she initially stuck it on in order that it should be koil at the tam. It should get the flavor. As we said, to eat it is good. It's the smell which is not good.
Doma Barosha, does that mean that he is going to get sick, or he is responsible for his own
death? Right. Doma Barosha means it's on his head. He's liable.
Okay.
He's liable. Zot the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a bairi minei d'shaim. This is a reference back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says you do not merely make one generic bracha of Vayre Priya Domo. Says the Gemara, Amar of Zeira, Vitamer of Chinam, Papa Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. As we know, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, we make one bracha and it's called Vayre Priya Domo. Vamar of Zeira, Vitamer of Chinam, Papa, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. So, what indeed is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? Omakro Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Mechiba Yoim Avorach Inoiso Balaila Eim Avorach Inoiso. What does that mean? You bench Hashem during the day. What, not at night? El Aloy Melacha. This teaches you that Kol Yoim Vayoim Ten Loy Me'ein Berkoisov. Every day you should give the appropriate bracha for that day. That's what it means, Yoim Yoim. Give the day's bracha. It doesn't mean give the bracha during the day and not at the night. It means the bracha, you always give something which is pertinent to the day. That's why on Shabbos the benching is different and the davening is different and all the brachas we make are different. So you've got to give a bracha which is pertinent to that day. Hachanami sotu over here, kol min umin, ten loy, me'ein birkoisov. So he's just copying and pasting. Just like every day we don't have one generic bracha, every day it requires its own individual bracha. So to every vegetable also requires its own individual bracha rather than one size fits all. The ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not the ways of mankind. Why? Midas basar v'dom keli reikon machzik. If you have an empty kli, then machzik, that can store things, you can put things in. But mole eino machzik, once it's full, that's it, you can't put anything in. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ikein, to the contrary. Mole machzik, but reikon eino machzik. The fuller it gets, the more you can put into it. And if it's empty, it will remain empty. Shenema, vayomer em shamoya tishma, im shamoya, then tishma. If you will hear, then you will continue to hear. How can that be? If I've already heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm overloaded with information, surely I'll get an email saying, sorry, all used space is indeed used. No free space. No. The fuller it is, the more that tishma in the future. Bavim lav le tishma. Udover acherim shamoya b'yoshon tishma b'chodosh. If you heard in the old, then you'll heard in the new. As Rashi explained, this means that if you go over, you do chazara of what you've done in the past, then that will enable you to then learn more in the future. But if you empty your heart, don't think, oh, Baruch Hashem, because I haven't learned for such a long time, so I've emptied my heart, and you know, I'm really now a fresh start. It's not true. The more one learns, the more that generates more learning. As we say, mitzvah gereres mitzvah.
It's not really a comparison of midas, man versus
right.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's ruchnius things.
One who
right.
has Yerushalayim versus...
Yep, yep.
Okay.
Says the Mishnah, Birech al peiroi so ilon, boire priho adomo yotso. If you made a bracha on peiroi so ilon, in other words, on fruits, but you said boire priho adomo, but yeah, you have it, because they do come from the adomo. Val peiroi so horetz, boire priho eitz lo yotso. Why not? Because you cannot possibly say that a vegetable came from a tree, didn't? Val kulam imam shakal nir bedvaroi yotza. But on all of them, if you said shahakoy, that's always the master key, as it were. That will unlock all doors, and that will make the bracha that will fit everything. Says the Gemara, man tana de ikka ilon arohi. Who is the tana that seems to be authoring our Mishnah? And is of the opinion that the main part of the tree is the ground. Remember, you're telling me that if you b'dievet made a bracha of b'rei priho adoma on a fruit, that would be okay. So clearly you're telling me that the main thing of the fruit tree is the ground. Therefore, that's why b'dievet it's okay. Who is that? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Tetanan, because we have it on Brayer Mishnah, it says, Yovesh hamayin v'niktzatzo ilon, mevi v'einoi koire. This is with regard to Bikurim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you will bring and you will be Koire. Why? Because even though the Mayon has dried up, it doesn't matter. The main thing is the Oretz. That's why so too in our Mishav. The main thing is Oretz. That's why B'dieved, the Bracha is good. Al Peirois Oretz. We said that if you now make a Bracha, you are not Yoitza, says the Gemara Shkoyach. One word question. Pshita, isn't that the most obvious thing in the world? How on earth would you expect that Bari Pri Ha'etz should work, b'dievet at least, for a vegetable? I mean, it never went on a tree at all. Says the Gemara, no, it's not so poshut. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo nitzricha, this is necessary to be taught to us. Why? Elo l'Rabbi Yehuda. To Omar Chito Min Ilon Hu Vekoire. He says that Chito is a Min Ilon. And nonetheless, there is Kriya. So you see that what? That even a what we call vegetable is. Right, it's to be considered a tree, and nonetheless, you're Koire, Bikurim. So to everything else as well. How do I know? How do I know that chito is a min ilon? The Tanya ilon she yoichal mimenu adam arisha she ochal mimenu adam arishin. What was that tree? What was the tree that adam arishin ate from? Reb Meir Omer Geffen Hava she'en lechadova shemivi yelol al adam. There is nothing that brings crying to a person elo yain she nema vayesh mina yain vayishkar with regard to Noach. Reb Nechemya, you know, there was a te'ena yisah shebedovash niskalkalu boy niskanu. With that which they got messed up, that was how they got fixed up. Shenema v'yispru ala te'ena. When they had to then put on clothes afterwards, it says they put on fig leaves. So obviously fig was the problem in the first place. Reb Yehuda says, no, it was chita ha'yisah. She'en ha'tinoik yodea likrois abo imob ad shi'itim tam dogon. Until he has tasted the taste of grain, you will not know have any das. And this was the eitz das, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it was the eitz of chito. So you see that even chito is registered as a, classified as a tree. Therefore, sal kedat chamin, I would have thought, hoil v'om Rabbi Yehuda chito. Because he told us, Rabbi Yehuda said that chito is a min ilon, he is a type of tree, I would have thought. Therefore, livrich oleho borir priyoetz kamash malon. You said it's the most obvious thing in the world. It's not so obvious. Because if it's taka classified as a tree, maybe you can say borir priyoetz. That's why we need to be taught that not. Why not? When indeed you make a bracha bar priyoretz, that's only if heicha the kishok las leila peiri isel gavza v'hodar mapik. That's only when you remove the fruit, the branch remains, and sure enough, next year what will happen? More fruits will come back. However, aval heicha the kishok las leila peiri. If in the case when you take the pri, the branch, that's it, does not regenerate the hodar mapik, it will not regenerate in order to produce more in the future. Okay. Va'al kulon imama shahakol, you're okay, b'dievet. Says the Gemara, it's not so posh. Itma Ravuna Omar chutz mina pas u'mina yayin, because pas and yayin is too choshev to be exempted with the bracha of shahakol. But Rabbi Yechanan disagrees, and we pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Omar afilu pas v'yayin, it's also exempted b'dievet that it did the bracha of. Of Shahakoil, and indeed, this is the way we pass in Halacha. Now, says the Gemara, can we suggest that this is a subject of a Machloikus Tanoim? So we're going to give now a number of examples. Roi Pas, if he saw bread, Va'oma Kamo Noe Pas Zu, and he said, how beautiful is this bread, Boruch HaMokoim Sheboro, and blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created it. Halacha is, according to the first opinion, Yotza. But, a te'ena, same thing. A te'ena, a fig. Va'omar also, he took a fig, ra' a te'ena, va'omar, kama no a te'ena zu, and he said, look, how beautiful this fig is. Or Baruch HaMokim Shebora, again, you would be Yaitse Divrei Rebbe Meir. Says the Gemara Chachomim, Rabbi Yisiyoyim, that no, Kol HaMashaneh Mimat Be'a Shetovu Chachomim, whoever changes from the coin that the Chazal were coined Bebrachas, Lo Yotz Yidei Chivasi. So it seems to be that Rabbi Yaisi is of the opinion you cannot change the bracha, and Rabbi Meir is. So the machloikas we said before about whether shahakol would work for pas v'yayin seems to be that very machloikas. Neimer Ravuna Domo Kriyasi. Ravuna, after all, was the second opinion, and he held that what? Chutz min ha-pas min ha-yayin. The Gemara says, pas and yayin does not include it. It sounds like you're not allowed to change the losh and the brachas. That's the Gemara Kriyasi. Rabbi Yechon says, you can. Sounds like he's going with Rameh, Domek Rameh. Oh, Malecho, Ravuna, no, don't bring me a proof. Anod Omri Afilu Rameh. I can even fit in with Rameh. I didn't let the bracha of Shahakoil exempt Pas V'yayin, but that does not mean that I disagree with Rameh, I can still fit in with Rameh. Why? Anod Omri Afilu Rameh. Ad kan lo yikomer Rameh hosam. Do you know why Rameh there ever said that you are Yotze? Because Eloheicha dekom midkar shmei the pas. Because at least he mentioned pas, although he changed the whole text of the bracha, but the main element of the bracha, which is the pas, was mentioned. Avalheicha de lo yikom midkar shmei the pas. But if you don't mention the name of bread, like in our case, where all he said was. In our case, when he did not mention bread, what did he say? He just said shahakol. So then, afilu Rameh will be made that it's no good. And so too in reverse, Rabbi Yechon Omar, that no, anod omri afilu k'Rabbi Yosi. I, who said that shahakol does work, can even fit in with Rabbi Yosi, who says that you cannot change the matzbei of chachamim. Why? Adkan, oikon Rabbi Yosi osam. Do you know why Rabbi Yosi expresses his opinion as such over there? That's only because Mishum Dukama Baracha Einoi Deloi Takinu Rabbonon. Because at the end of the day, which bracha did he make? A non-existent one. Very nice he mentioned bread, but he just made up a DIY bracha. Aval Oma Shakal Ni Bidvaroi, if you said Shakal Ni Bidvaroi, at least at the end of the day, that is a bracha that the Takinu Rabbonon. He didn't make up his own bracha. Under those circumstances, Afilu Rabbi Yosi Moida. Then maybe Rabbi Yosi would also be Moida. That's at the end of the day not considered that you're Mashana, you're not changing the Matabeah of Chachamim. Maybe that would work. Binyamin Raya, Binyamin the shepherd, Korach Arifta, Vomar Brei, Brich, More, Dahai, Peter. And he said, blessed is the master who blesses who of this bread. Omar Rav Yotso. Why? The Omar Rav, the Kol Brocha Sheinu Vaskaras Hashem, in a Brocha. If ever you don't mention Hashem's name, it's not a Brocha. So over here, when he said Boruch, Rachmon, etc., etc., he's never actually mentioning Hashem's name, so why is it considered a good Brocha? Says the Gemara, no, obviously he did say that. Doma Boruch, Rachmona, More Dahai Pas. So again, in the beginning, what did we think? That what was the Brocha? We thought that it's trying to teach us he took the bread. What did he do? He just said, Borech More Dahai Peter. We never said anything about Hashem. How can that be? So Moses says, no, you got a word missed out from the story. He did say the word Hashem. Well, if you say the word Hashem, then you're okay. Says the Gemara, one second. Vaboyinon Shalosh Brachos. Don't you need three brachas? He only said one for Birkas Hamazon. Says the Gemara, no, that's what we meant. Ma Yotza, what did we mean when we say he's Yotza? To come Rav Nami Yotza, they bracha Rishona. Indeed, we never meant to suggest that through one bracha he's Yotza all of benching. That will be a kiyum of the first bracha. So my Kamash Malon, so what exactly are you teaching me then? I don't know. Afal Gav, Domer Belosha, and Choyl. Is that what you're trying to teach me? That even though he didn't say it in Hebrew, he said it in a language that he did understand, i.e. in Aramaic. Is that what you're trying to teach me? That was considered a good bracha? I'm sorry, I know that already. Tanina ve'elu nemorim b'choloshoin. Parsha Soita, vidui maisa, ukrishma, utefilo, ubirkas amosna. Therefore, what exactly are you teaching me when you're telling me, you know what, you're allowed to say Brich Rachmona? What do you mean you're allowed to? Well, because it's not in Lashon HaKodesh? I know it doesn't have to be Lashon HaKodesh. Says the Mar, no. Sa'al Kedat HaChamini, I would have thought that's only the Amr B'Lashon Choyl. That's only when indeed when you say it in a foreign language, but at least you're saying it Ki Heichi T'Takinu Rabbonon B'Lashon HaKodesh. At least you're expressing yourself, albeit in a different language, but at least in the same way that Chazal had in Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, what are you doing?
Word for word.
Word for word translating. Avol, but over here, Loi Omra B'Lashon Chol Keichid Takin Rabbanu B'Lashon HaKodesh. Emaloi. K'mashmalon, that's why I need to be taught it does work. In other words, what exactly was taught to me when I was told that he made this bracha, Baruch Rachmon, etc.? The Chiddush can't be that you're allowed to make brachas in English, that we know, or Aramaic. The Chiddush is, even though it's not a word-to-word translation. Because I would have thought that maybe, only if indeed, it's a word-for-word translation. So basically I'm saying it in Lashon HaKodesh, I just translate it. But if I make up new words, who says that's good enough? That's the Chiddush of our Gemara. Gufo Marav. Kol bracha she'ein boaz koras Hashem ein a bracha. So Rav says, indeed, whenever you have a bracha with no mention of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, it's not considered a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kol bracha she'ein bo malchus ein a bracha. We saw later on, he's not disagreeing, he's just adding. You've got to mention malchus. Omar Abaya, kvosei de Rav mistabra. It seems that Rav's opinion is correct. Because we have a brayse that says the Tanya lo yavarti v'seisech v'lo shachochti lo yavarti means milavarecha chav v'lo shachachti means milahaske shimcholov. So the brayse clearly says that what is his declaration? That don't worry, I didn't forget to say what the bracha, including the shem Hashem. Ah, v'ilu malchus lo iktani.
It doesn't say anything about stressing that you also managed to mention Malchus. It sounds like Malchus is not so important. Rabbi Yechon says, no, you have to amend the Braisa. Tony, the way he had the Braisa is, indeed, it's a double declaration. So here you see that everybody agrees that you have to have the Shem Hashem. The discussion is whether you also have to have Malchus. Now, if you remember, firstly, Tosis told us over here the Rif that we're passing like Rabbi Yochanan, you've got to mention both. But Tosis brought many examples that when we say Malchus, we don't necessarily mean the word Melech. Remember, we say Elokei Avram, that's Melech. If you say She'ein Kamoihu, that's also Melech, because you're declaring there's nobody else in the world. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's also considered Malchus. Why? Because you're saying Hashem Echad and such, etc., etc. Okay, very good. Fine, we'll hold it over here until Chodesh Cheshvan, would you believe it? Which is approximately 3.5 weeks. A little bit of a break. Hope maybe we'll bump into each other sometime over Yom Tov. Everybody can feel free if you want to pop by. Delighted to see you. My parents will be here, my in-laws will be here. So hopefully we'll bump into each other sometime. Yom Tov. Meanwhile, everyone should have a Gemar Chasim Mateva. Good Gebetsh to Yor. I would just maybe leave you with a practical Eitzah. I mentioned this to the ladies last night. I said this at the end of the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha yesterday as well. Just a one-liner. A one-liner, but I think this one-liner could mamash change your Holy Yom Kippur. We very often, genuinely and with utmost sincerity, we are makabel various kabbalos on ourselves this time of year. And we've all heard in previous drashas how crucial it is, for example, not to makabel too many things and not to makabel things that are out of range. Somebody says, right, so from now on I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to speak a single word of Lashon Hara. From now on I'm never, ever going to become 1 minute late for any davening ever. That's too off the radar. But there's another piece of advice, and this is what I want to leave you with. Very often, unfortunately, we're makabel kabbalas, and then we see them drift, and then wane, and then evaporate. And we're wondering to ourselves, why did they evaporate? And the answer is, in one line, because it's absolutely crucial not only to consider what we want to be mischazik in, but as important, how are we going to go about it? Imagine I sit one day at home and I say, I would like to earn $1 million. And I sit on my couch for a year and I say, I can't believe $1 million didn't come in. 1 second. That's what you wanted, but how did you want it to happen? Did you have a plan? Did you have a business plan? If you don't have a business plan, that's not called wanting. It's just a dream, it's a fantasy. Real rotzain is that I have a plan of action. I have a plan of action. So for example, imagine somebody would say, I need a chizuk in the area of tefillah. Which area specifically? I come late to davening, for example, I want to make sure I come on time. Okay. So the first thing he knows is, he's not going to be makabel something too big. He's not going to say it's going to be every day or every tefillah. He'll pick certain tefillahs or certain days. Fine. How is he going to implement it? Merely to say, because this year I really want it. Well, last year presumably you also really wanted it. Yeah, but this year I really, really, really want it. That's not going to make a difference. What will make a difference is if you sit down and have a plan of action. How is it that I'm going to ensure I come on time for davening? What's my plan of action? How am I going to do this? It might be, for example, I'm going to arrange a chavrusa who waits for me before shacharis. Well, that way I'm going to ensure that I'm there on time. It might be that I'm promising if ever I don't come on time for shacharis on that particular day or days, I'm going to give 100 shekels to tzedakah. It might be that I'm going to spend a number of minutes every day learning the halachas of davening. It might be that I'm going to spend further time examining the hashkofas of davening so that davening will become much more central in my life. Either, whatever Eitzah works for you will work for you. But the bottom line is there has to be a plan of action. Merely to say, this year I'm not going to come late to davening. This year I'm going to learn more Torah. This year I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. This year I'm going to be more Makbid HaLocha. This year, Why on earth should that happen? Why on earth should that happen? So you'll tell me, well, because it says that nothing will stand in the way of Rotzin. Ein dovor oimid lifnei Rotzin. That's true, but it has to be defined. What is Rotzin? I want to earn $1 billion, not Rotzin. That's just a dream. That's just a fantasy. In order for it to be genuine Rotzin, there has to be a plan of action. I have to have a way of reasonably giving myself a reasonable chance of implementing what it is I want to be mischazik. In other words, it's not sufficient to think what I want to be mischazik in, it's as important to think how am I going to implement it. There's got to be the what and there's got to be the how. And that, I think, could mamash change our whole Yom Kippur. Again, small things, things that are personal to you, things that are reasonably, realistically attainable, but they will only be attainable if you have some sort of plan of action. How am I going to implement it? If somebody is deciding this year is going to improve in a certain area of midos, he's got a problem with anger management, he's got a problem, he's lazy. This year I'm going to beat laziness. Okay, how? Because I don't want to be lazy. Or I'm not going to get angry anymore because I don't want to. I want to be mischazik. That's not enough. You have to have a plan of action. I know somebody who had an anger management issue and it was causing terrible, terrible shalom bias issues. The family almost broke up. So we sought advice. I learned with this person over the course of many months a sefer that deals with handling kas. How to manage one's anger. This was a number of years ago. And he told me, so he's very happily married now. He was literally, and believe me, he was literally a millimeter away from divorce because of this anger management. It was ripping apart the family. But he had a plan of action. He didn't merely say, okay, from now on, I really, really want to overcome kas. That's not rotzen. That's not a plan of action. That's not a mahalach. And had he left it at that, you could be rest assured that he never would have overcome that middle. If one has a plan of action, not just the what, but also the how, that's more realistic of us be able to implement our Kabbalahs, and that way they really will be permanent. And Tov Shin Pei indeed will be different to Tov Shin Ayin Tes. I wish you all well. A Gemar Chasim Ateva, a Gitli Ben Shtiyo. It's been Be'ez Hashem, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful year, a wonderful Zman. I, by the way, have not given up on our Siyum on Sukkah. If anybody's on, make a Siyum. I'm all for it, wives included. I think we should definitely make a Siyum on Sukkah. So I think it would be the most beautiful time to do it. But either way, Baruch Hashem, we've covered a lot of ground, finishing this Siyum Masechta Sukkah, which was a terrific achievement. And Baruch Hashem, getting through half of this Perek already. The sixth Perek, Be'ez Hashem, the winter's man, we should finish this Perek. And we'll make a decision together where to go from there. Maybe take another parak of brachas or make a decision from that decision.